Our scripture for today is from Romans 1:20. Very, very good scripture that's worth memorizing. Even though we cannot actually see God, we can understand how he governs by looking at nature. How many enjoy looking at nature? Yeah. It has been that way since the creation of this world. We can understand the regenerative power of God and his goodness by observing the things he made. And that leaves people without any excuse.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. So good to see you all. Let's bow our heads if we should. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly bow before you, the King and the Lord and our Savior. Father, you are over all of the universe. You want nothing more for us to draw closer to you, to lay aside ourselves and to allow your Spirit to take our hearts and to change us and create in us the character of God. That through your power, Lord, and your grace and your love and the sacrifice of Jesus, we will one day be able to live with you for eternity. So, Lord, we come to this table today humbled that you would think us worthy of coming and dying for. Now, as we open your word and consider some lessons, we ask for thy Spirit to touch our hearts and our minds. May words and thoughts be directed by you. Lord, all honor and glory for you forever and ever. Be with your people, we pray in thy name. Amen. Well, just as Dr. Luke had read this morning, talked about how the ways of God are expressed in nature. And I just love the book of nature. It is wonderful. You see God's hand everywhere you look for it. Or there are those that blindly go through and look for something else. And so today, we're going to look at a little bit of one example of how nature expresses the teachings of God and how he, through the sacrifice of Jesus, brings us freedom and salvation. Because you've probably noticed the clear parallel between the way that God works spiritually in our lives and even the physical functioning of our human bodies, even down to the microscopic. It is amazing. And Paul pointed this out in this parallel that in Romans 1:20, that says it very clearly. And I like that. I think that was a paraphrase, Dr. Luke, that you read from. That was the clear word, maybe, sounded like. Beautiful paraphrase. Yes. But again, he says it so clearly. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Nature speaks of God in many ways. And to me, one of the most amazing examples of his spiritual presence in our human bodies is actually a tiny component of blood, the white blood cell. I think of these cells, they're called leukocytes. Now, some of you already know, there's little soldiers of an extraordinary special ops army that marches into battle every time an enemy bacteria enters your body. And the battle is more exciting and more fanciful than you can imagine, better than anything Hollywood can come up with. So imagine, let's say it's a 4th of July weekend and you're going to have a picnic down at the lake or the park and you're running around, it's warm, you're barefoot and you step on a piece of dirty glass. And you cut yourself. Nobody do that, okay? But suddenly you've cut your foot, and, well, this leukocyte soldier has a very particular job to do. In fact, we're going to follow him through this process a little bit. And I'm going to call him, if you forgive me, Luke. Because it's a leukocyte, not because of Dr. Luke. And Luke has this very specific job, because when he discovers the enemy invasion, he goes to your defense. There's about 7,000 leukocytes in every drop of your blood. And at first, after Luke leaves his station in the bone marrow and he heads off through the blood vessels on the morning you cut your foot, his patrol is uneventful. He travels along, he goes down through the right side of your heart and out into your lungs and goes through your lungs where he sees all the red blood cells doing their business, picking up oxygen, getting off all the bad gases and things. And he travels on through, comes into the left side of your heart, goes out the aorta. Everything's as usual. But now he swings to the right and he goes down toward your right leg. And all of a sudden the situation changes. Because he's traveling down past the knee and he gets down close to your foot and he detects the first sign of trouble. Because minute traces of a chemical, a toxin, appear in the tissues near where you've cut yourself. Enemy bacteria. He goes on alert and he jumps into action, but suddenly he finds his way is blocked because these different factors in your blood and fibrinogen and things are clotting off where that cut was. It's sealed off and Luke is trapped. He can't do anything. Or is he? Because Luke's blood vessel has tiny pores he could escape through, but they're 20 to 30 times smaller than he is. But that's no problem for Luke, because he's no ordinary soldier. He has the power to change his shape at will, and swiftly he stretches himself out in like a thread, and he finds his way through one of these pores in the blood vessel like going through the eye of a needle. Once he gets outside the vessel, he resumes his normal oblong shape, and he rushes towards the enemy with thousands of fellow leukocytes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Almost immediately, Luke identifies the bacterium, and the battle is joined. And again, he changes shape, and he wraps himself around his opponent, engulfing him. Luke's prisoner, though, is still dangerous. But Luke has another secret weapon, and a lethal one at that. Floating inside the leukocyte, there are little sacs filled with chemicals called lysosomes. And these attack the bacterium itself and poison it. Now the invader's dead, and Luke strikes out for another bacterium. He finds it, and he wraps himself around it. And the lysosomes go to work, and it kills him. And he goes to another one and another one. But for each enemy he engulfs, Luke pays a price. The poisons are accumulating within him. Finally, all the chemical toxins are overwhelming. And through the army of heroic leukocytes, eventually they win. Sadly, our little friend Luke succumbs and dies. As a former healthcare worker and a Christian believer, I see a crystal clear analogy here, just as we read in Romans 1. Just as my body is vulnerable to infection, my spirit too is vulnerable. Because if I allow sin to invade my life, my spirit is poisoned. But again, I have a defender. His name is Jesus. He gave his life on the cross to bring me healing in the form of forgiveness, and that's why we're here today at this table. So the parallel of the leukocyte sacrifice cleansing my body of infection and Jesus' sacrifice purifies my spirit of sin. So as we read in Romans chapter 1, where Paul told us, Christ's power and deity are clearly perceived in the things that have been made. The lessons are all around us in nature. And how thrilling it is to know that Jesus' divine mission not only is recorded in God's holy book, but it's imprinted in our very flesh and in our blood. In Leviticus 17:11, the Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. How true it is. It's the blood that carries life-giving oxygen and nutrients to all parts of the body, and it removes the toxins and the wastes out of our body. The blood is amazing. Do you know blood is mentioned nearly 500 times in the Bible? It's presented as a precious commodity because we know we need blood to stay alive. Amen? And we need it in good shape. A couple little facts on blood. Do you know how much blood you have in the human body? No fair, doctors. Any others? Well, when you're born, on average, it's about a half a pint. As an adult woman, you have about 6 or 7 pints, generally speaking. During pregnancy, you get about an extra pint. In men, it roughly runs 9 to 10 pints. Red blood cells are formed in bone marrow, the skull, the spine, your ribs, your breastbone, your thigh, mainly. In an infant, it's in all their bones and their liver and spleen. White cells are about 60% formed in bones, about 25% in the thymus, the spleen, and the lymph nodes. The rest in the liver. But the spleen holds all the reserves and stores it. The red blood cells, in a drop of blood, there's about 5 million red cells. There's 5,000 white cells, or a ratio of about 1 to 1,000 red cells. And leukocytes, or white cells, are about 4 to 5 times bigger than the red blood cell. The average lifespan of a red blood cell is about 120 days, during which it makes a journey of nearly 1,000 miles through your circulatory system. Finally, it gets destroyed in the liver or the spleen so that the essential iron can be recycled. You know, you're one of the biggest recycling plants on the planet. We need that. So in the blood is not only the life, but the blood is mirrored in the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave his blood that we might be cleansed of the infection of sin. I gave a little handout. We're not going to take the time today to look up each of those texts, but I'll give you the answers to it, and you can make that a Sabbath afternoon study, maybe. But what does the blood of Christ do? I just pulled some of the quotes out here. In Acts 20, verse 28, it says that we are purchased by his blood. What a payment. Purchased by his blood. Romans 5, and in chapter 3 also says we are justified by his blood. We are justified by his blood. Colossians 1 says that having made peace through his blood of the cross, we find peace. Redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin in Ephesians 1. Redemption through his blood. In Hebrews 9, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Revelation 1, verse 5, reminds us that he's washed us from our sins in his blood. He washes us clean. Next one says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Again, bringing up the fact of the blood of the cleansing vehicle through which our deadly infection is removed. Revelation 12, it's a victory through his blood because of all that Jesus has given us. And in John 6, tells us that we get eternal life by his blood. Isn't that amazing? Eternal life by his blood. And 1 Corinthians tells us it is symbolized by the grape juice or the unfermented wine. Is there power in the blood? Amen. Amen, there's power in the blood. Only by his blood do we find we're purchased, we're justified, we find peace, we're redeemed. We get our sins washed away from us. We get victory and we get eternal life. And it's all symbolized at his table today. It is truly true what Paul said in Romans 1:20. Invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his power and his Godhead. So friends, today when we drink this juice and eat this bread, we are reminded that Christ desires to live within us. Think of blood and the nutrients that you take in, eating your breakfast this morning or potluck afterwards. You bring that in, you assimilate it, it gets broken down, and it comes into its hopefully positive life-supporting factors that gets carried by your blood to every cell in your body and keeps you alive. Isn't it neat that God uses that very same thing to teach us how important it is to have Jesus in that same internal way so that his life is infused in us in every aspect, clear down to the cellular. It's not just head knowledge. We need to internalize our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have it live within us, just as his blood. Our Hot Calling, page 60. She tells us, Christ must dwell in the heart. His life must circulate through us as the blood circulates through the veins. What a beautiful picture. But how deep a connection God wants with each one of us. Amen? To be able to be in our lives and in our heart to the level that's why if you love me, keep my commandments. That's not a command, that's a promise. When you love him, when you internalize him, when he dwells within you, when his spirit is alive within you and self is dead and his character lives, it permeates your entire life and you joy to follow what your Lord asks. God is amazing. He is wonderful. That, my friends, is why we're here today. We're here to celebrate the gift that he gave, the blood that he shed, so that we may be cleansed, much greater than any leukocyte. But he and he alone desires nothing more than to completely invade every one of your lives. He loved us all so much that he came and died. Amen? He gave that blood, his own holy blood without sin, as he became sin for us, so that we may live eternally without sin, without illness, without sickness, without viruses and bacteria, without aches and pains, without death, all because he loved us so much that he gave his blood. Praise God. Well, at this time, let's go ahead and separate for our foot washing. Go ahead and we'll separate and go enjoy that. And if you care not to, just stay in the sanctuary and we will all return shortly. May God bless as you contemplate these things. You love the Lord? Is it good to be here on a Sabbath? Especially good to be here on Communion Sabbath. For there is definitely a special presence here with us today. And each and every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So with joyful hearts, we follow Christ's example. We are so thankful for the power of his blood, the power of his love, to be able to do what he has done, that rebels like me and you may one day be able to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Is an amazing thing. So as we come to this table, I pray that you just let go of everything else in your life, but think of Jesus and his love for you and his sacrifice and what he wants to do in you and through you for his glory. For he is a mighty God. This time, David will read and have prayer for a blessing on the bread.
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are sinners and we are doomed unless we have you in our lives, Lord. And Father, it is through your grace that we are saved, through faith. And you have given us this wonderful sacrament that we might celebrate it in remembrance of you, Lord. You are the bread of life, Lord. Help us to partake of that, to put it into our bodies, as a symbol of you entering our lives and our hearts. Thank you so much for loving us in such a wonderful way and for the hope that we have. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Amen. Dear God, we do accept your blood for our sins. And I know this isn't a fair trade for you, but you did it out of love for us. And we accept this cup and want to drink it in remembrance of you. In thy holy name, amen.
When believers assemble to celebrate these ordinances, there are present messengers unseen by human eyes. There may be a Judas in the company, and if so, messengers from the Prince of Darkness are there, for they attend all who refuse to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly angels also are present. These unseen visitants are present in every such occasion. There may come into the company persons who are not in heart servants of truth and holiness, but who may wish to take part in a service, and they should not be forbidden. There are witnesses present also who were present when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and of Judas. More than human eyes behold the scene. Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is there to set the seal to his own ordinance. He is there to convict and soften the heart. Not a look, not a thought of contrition escapes his notice. For the repentant, broken-hearted one, he is waiting. All things are ready for that soul's reception. For he who washed the feet of Judas longs to wash every heart from the stain of sin. Desire of Ages, page 656. What a beautiful and amazing thought that here present with us now, holy angels from the throne of God. The fact that angels who were there when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and instituted this ordinance in place of Passover to be carried on forevermore until he comes, that those very same witnesses, some of those very angels can be right here with us now. It's a humble thought, isn't it? But our God is a God of love and wants nothing more than for our hearts to be ready for him, all by the power of his blood, shed through a heart of infinite love. What a wonderful God we have. And he said, eat ye all of it. And he said, this is a testament, it's a promise. This is there for the forgiveness of sin. For in his blood, we find all those marvelous characteristics he has given. And this represents Jesus' sacrifice. And he wants it to be in your heart all the way down through every cell and fiber of your body. So thus he said, take and drink. This is for the remission of your sin. Are you happy, Christians? Praise God. Praise God for his goodness and his love, for his saving grace forever and ever. So may we go forth with the joy in our hearts. Let's turn to number, I think it's 294. And let's sing of the power in the blood. Yeah, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, there's power, power beyond what we can comprehend in the blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for the love that brought you here to buy back a fallen race that is so infected with sin that we have no way out. We're a lethal case. There's no way out, that we can't do anything of ourselves. But Father, because of the blood of Jesus and because of his love for us and his great sacrifice, all the power of heaven is open to us. Lord, work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to connect. Let that power flow. May that Spirit indwell in our hearts every day, every moment, not just here in church, not in worship, not just a beautiful service of communion, but Father, moment by moment in our daily life, infuse us with your Spirit. Cleanse us of sin. Lead us to a higher road. Help us to see above the confusion and the hurt and the miasma and the sickness and all the strife that Satan is trying to distract us with. Lord, keep our eyes on high. Lift us up. Take us home, is our prayer in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Yeah, so let's remember the Good Samaritan offering at the back on your way out if you care. Thank you.